You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
In a secret lab, somewhere in the Western Hemisphere, the perfect human specimen has been born. He has the strength of 10 men and the wisdom of 20. He also has a twin brother.
I have a brother?
Oh my goodness, are you looking good?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Born to be bad.
And Danny DeVito.
Way to go, Mom.
Are twins.
My name is Julius. I'm your twin brother.
Obviously. The moment I sat down, I thought I was looking into a mirror.
Only their mother can tell them apart. Twins, the new comedy from Ivan Reitman.
Julius.
What?
Are you allergic to something? I mean, you're all swelled up. You look like you're ready to explode.
I love it when you hit people.
Who are you?
Vincent's brother.
We're twins.
That's right.
Twins. Coming this Christmas.
Yes, and hello, and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. There is absolutely no way I'm going to do a supercut of all of the films that we're talking tonight. So you got twins. Yay!
I'm kind of surprised that was a Christmas release.
Yeah. Twins is a Christmas movie. Who would have known?
Was it?
Well, oh no, November. Look, it's about how you're going. How are you going, Quinny?
I mean, does it count as a Christmas film? That's my question.
Hey, no, because there's no Christmas tree. Yeah. You got to have
that's
a Christmas tree.
That's another special.
That's a different special. We're not doing that. No, so, how you going, Jill? How you going, Peter?
Hello.
Good. It's your show tonight, Pete.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
It's Pete.
I think the seed of it came from me.
It's called Twin Pete's.
I love it.
Of course. Yeah. Not the is it going to be the moody obscure version, or is it going to be, I don't know. Give us your best Kyle MacLachlan accent, Peter.
This is, you know that I don't do accents. If I try to do an accent, I forget how to use the English language.
They found her body. She was wrapped in plastic.
Okay, this is a weird one. No, we're going to get yes.
I mean, also, I've never seen Twin Peaks because I hate David Lynch, but that's another story.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
he can't hurt you now.
creatively.
okay, so we're in this. It's the second last show of the year. It was very labor intensive, and we also got to do a survey. So we got people to do bits and pieces. There's a lot of stuff that's going on, and we're not quite at the thing yet. But this is just a survey result show. This is what this is.
This is one of Dion's favorite things to do.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. I love making hundreds of slides.
He loves compiling data.
Yeah,
he does. He is a data nerd, and I respect that about him.
Yes, so many coins. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
In the chat there. Hello, everyone. I hope you've had fun filling out
scientific
the survey.
Scientific method of voting.
Yes.
So scientific.
But look, we're going to go through them. There was a lot. There was over 30 films, I think. 30 questions, which meant that it was at least 60 films that you had to choose between.
Yes.
So that sounds like quite a lot. And there'd be some fun in there. But honestly, I have to say, I need the rules explained to me about what this is. So I'm going to leave this over to Peter in your best shit accent.
My accent is my best shit accent. Everyone's always where are you from? And I'm like, I don't know, speech impediment, leave me alone.
Can we not just go overly polite Japanese tourist guide? That was recent experience, no? No? Aggressive
we are
samurai.
Spamming that chat with the shit accent things. You're not doing them. I'm very disappointed.
I'm doing it in former film student accent. That's this one.
Very good.
So twin films, a phenomenon where two completely separate films get made that actually happen to be the same film and made and released in a very short period of time. So I think we put a little 12-month rule in there. It's not, you know, the strict rule for twin films, but it's an interesting thing that's been happening all the way back to the silent movie era, where I believe there were three versions of Jekyll and Hyde released released as silent films, all within the course of a year. We in our generation may have first started to notice this phenomenon with things like Volcano and Dante's Peak, or
1998 was a big Armageddon. Year for it.
Yeah.
Like, there, but my there thing are is
that
lot.
It's not that they're similar, and it's not that there is two films in the same subject. Our long list may have things that might be masquerading a bit as twin films without actually being twin films. It's like the plots are the same to really make it a twin film. It happens more than you would think, and it sometimes results in races to the finish when two studios realize that they are making the same film, and it's the one that's going to get released first that is going to do better. And sometimes it results in small changes in plots and scripts to try to minimize the overlap. So they can have interesting stories behind them. But what we do know is that there is always a better one. Yes. And that is really what this is about.
A quick caveat for this. All the results for tonight's show are from the survey, which is everyone out there, people in the chat and other people who saw the post, who did the survey. Thank you. Bless you. You gave us all of that. But they don't include our results, what we think. So you have to just, we're going to decide which one, or the people are going to pick which one is the better twin film of the two that we're talking about. And then we'll see what the survey says and then explain why you're all wrong if it disagrees to us. But yes, that gives you some context about it. What is this? What are these results? Where are they from? We have not voted. I did not fill out the survey. I did not do any of these things.
So the one thing I did want to call out for that, Pete, your rules were perfect. The one thing that we did want to say is that the films have to be released probably within a year of each other, because if they're not, then one may just be a remake of the other. Like,
we put a year on it. It could be a little bit longer than that, but I think it really, the difference between a twin film and a remake is pretty clear. If it's the same film made 5 years apart.
Yeah.
Or that's if it's plagiarism or a remake.
Yeah. and more importantly, if they could have been actually influenced by each other, if the first or the second one could have seen the first one and then
gone out and turned around a movie in 6 months.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so as such, we haven't done any of the mockbusters either. So, like, you know, we're going for, you know, attempting to do proper, reasonably well-made films in some cases.
Also, and some of them are so similar, like I think we'll talk, you know, we'll briefly mention Capote and Infamous later on. And the story there is that the writer called the producer and said, you know, I finally finished the script for Infamous, and he's like, oh, I know, I've got it on my desk, and then realized that the script he had on his desk was the one for Capote. Like, same story, same time.
Sure.
Incredible.
I mean, I go for a more thematic way for these things.
Yes, like, Dion has gone with two war movies released in 12 months of twin films. So, why don't I have discussions about
what
that?
We're talking about a group of men discover the horrors of war in the Pacific versus a group of men who discover the horrors of war in the European battle zone. Like, it's the same film.
Yes, it's the same film as insofar as Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger are twins.
They are, genetically. I'm sorry. Ivan Reitman was a genius.
Fantastic.
He's fantastic. Okay. All right.
Okay. Where do we start?
We're going to start, I think, first up, Pete, since it's your idea, you're going first. Keep your eye on the screen now. We're going to Pete's first pick for this, and that is going to be this twin film showdown. Is it's Deep Impact versus Armageddon.
Yes!
Deep Impact and Armageddon. Now, I put in our survey, I did put the release dates of these things, and now I don't have it in front of me, but can you remind me which one of those came out first?
Let me look it up. Sorry, I had the list of these.
So I'm Deep just Impact running the slideshow, guys. You're going to have to do all of the other stuff.
Deep Impact was May 1998. Armageddon.
Very close.
Yeah.
They're very close.
Armageddon, also 1998. Yeah. World release date. June. 1998.
Ooh, yeah. So within impact, a month. Oh, they got there first. And I do wonder what kind of argy-bargy race to the finish they had to do to get the release out a month early. But let's just kind of talk about the similarities between these two films, right? Because that's like the most important thing. So plot of Deep Impact is that we discover that a comet is hurtling towards Earth that is likely to destroy the Earth if it does indeed make impact. So as humanity prepares for this potential disaster, they send astronauts to the comet to nuke it in the hope of breaking it up and averting disaster. So that is Deep Impact, starring a lot of people, but the one that I remember because I was a teenager when I watched it is Elijah Wood. It was an Elijah Wood film because obviously I watched an Elijah. I wasn't an Elijah
really
girly
in a Deep Impact
from early on.
Well, I always remember it as a Sam Raimi film.
Isn't it funny the way our little teenage brains work?
Yeah.
It's a
now
Morgan,
let's talk
it's
about Armageddon. The plot of Armageddon.
It's
the plot of Armageddon. Is so different to the plot of Deep Impact because what's actually happening is that there's an asteroid hurtling towards Earth, which scientifically is very different to a comet. And so to avoid the eventual destruction of mankind, they send people to go and nuke it, but this time not astronauts. Men from the oil rig who know how to drill.
I'm glad that you used that phrase and not just miners. But sending kids
well, actually,
into space.
I'm going to say, no, that was terrible. I'm pretty sure I haven't seen it since I was a teenager. People from the oil rig who know how to drill. I don't believe it was an all-male crew. No, it was drillers and rock nerds. I think they had a couple of geologists in there. But obviously easier to teach, you know, a person who knows how to drill, how to be an astronaut, than vice versa. So
that was
cool.
Which was famously done in the DVD extras, which is Ben Affleck asking, telling the story about how he was asking the director, Michael Bay, why, and having Michael Bay go, shut up, Ben.
So spoiler alert, both of the missions to nuke the comet / asteroid experience critical failure that then requires the crew to in some way sacrifice themselves to complete the mission and save the Earth, but only after, in both cases, a large chunk of the asteroid / comet had already done a significant amount of damage to parts of the Earth.
So we can get some good shots of shit blowing up.
Yeah.
Plot-wise, I'm going to say that that's a twin film. Tone-wise, I do remember them being completely different as a kid. Like, Armageddon is a Michael Bay action film. Deep Impact felt like it had a little bit more emotional gravitas hiding in there, but that might have just been Elijah.
No, it was Tia Leone.
The Elijah effect.
Elijah and Tia Leone. And was David Duchovny involved at some point? I don't even remember.
No, they were dating.
Oh, no, Morgan Freeman was there.
It's
though,
Morgan Freeman.
He?
All
yeah.
the way.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman. Yeah. as opposed to Bruce Willis and others.
Yeah.
And
So my uncritical, purely based on my enjoyment as a film when I watched them as children and have not watched them since, preference is 100%. Deep Impact, and I believe that that is also NASA's preference in regard to Excellent. Any kind of scientific accuracy that may be involved in these films.
Fantastic. Okay, so Peter's nice. Going for Deep Impact. Quinny, who are you going for?
I'm going to go for, okay, musically, Armageddon.
Okay, yes. I had that one song.
No, exactly. No fence sitting, Quinny. You have to go with the results. So
okay, musically, Armageddon, everything else, Deep Impact, because Armageddon is a fucking stupid film.
Okay. So you're
it's hard.
So which one
dumb.
Are you picking?
Deep Impact.
Okay. Jill?
Yeah.
Hate Liv Tyler.
Yep.
Love the fucking song.
Yep.
Because that's a karaoke classic.
Mm.
But don't like Deep Impact. Armageddon. No, Deep Impact.
Deep Impact.
Me.
Fuck. Yeah. Okay, I'm going against the survey.
Wow.
I mean, I'm going against you guys, this little survey. I'm going for Armageddon because it's dumb as fuck, but it was more entertaining than Deep Impact. Okay, so we're going into this. Here it is. So survey says, with 69.2%, all right, we're going for winner Armageddon. Sorry, Deep Impact sucks.
Oh, you Armageddon guys, I'm questioning the taste currently.
What were you thinking?
From the survey, 69.2% of people all prefer Armageddon to Deep Impact.
Okay.
Sorry about that there, Petey.
More power to you.
More power to you.
I mean, you can't be right about everything.
All right. Well, that's enough for that one. You do have another one, though, Pete. What's your other pick for this? And this one is actually
so the other one that sticks out for me is Friends with Benefits and No Strings Attached. Because it's like, how did these two films get made at the same time? How did this even happen? We're looking at two rom-coms about a pair of friends who decide to embark on a purely physical relationship and then realize that maybe things are not that simple and, surprise, surprise, actually realize that they're in love at the end, both of which are starring former stars of that 70s show. How did this happen? Like literally the same plots. And because it's a rom-com, there wasn't like that many places for this concept to go plot-wise.
I mean, I'm looking at the poster. It's just the two couples looking at each other in a sort of post or coital way where they're both of their clothing is kind of just a bit off. And they're like, oh, what are we doing? I don't know.
Same film. And I do believe in this case there was another bit of a race to the finish. And No Strings Attached Friends with Benefits managed to get out there first. I did end up watching both of these films as well, because even at the time I was like, how did this happen? I need to know. But my, again, uncritical assessment after watching them one time, long time ago is that Friends with Benefits is the superior comedy. It is a lot more fun and crass, and the chemistry between Timberlake and Kunis is significantly better than the chemistry between Ashton Kutcher and help me out.
Portman.
Thank you, Natalie. Portman. Natalie Portman.
Whoever the other one was.
Kutcher, Portman.
And those things attached just kind of seems to walk that very bland Hollywood traditional rom-com line where Friends with Benefits gets a little funky with it. So that's my pick on that one.
That's your pick. Great. I didn't see either of them, so I have no frame of reference. 50-50. Draw.
I just know that there was a lot of leaning.
But you made everybody else pick in the survey when they hadn't seen them, Dion.
Shh. I like Mila Kunis and I like Ashton Kutcher.
Well, and that's the other thing. A year after the film was released, they became Friends with Benefits. So, like, is this, like, weird, like, things that feels like it's folded in on itself over the years?
And didn't you also mention there's, like, it's weird that all of them became people that no one, that they all sort of
dropped off, and now we all kind of think that they're sort of terrible people. So
for different reasons.
Each for different reasons.
Mm. Look, to be honest, I'd go Natalie Portman because she was in Star Wars. So that's where I'm going for. No Strings Attached. There you go. There's my choice.
I think out of the two of them, I think I only saw Friends with Benefits. So I guess I just have to go with that.
I mean, it is kind of a fun film. They've got good chemistry. It's a laugh.
I don't particularly like Ashton Kutcher, so.
Queenie, what did you get?
Yeah, I got nothing on that one. I can't remember either of them. I'm sure I've seen one of them. I have no memory of either of them. But I know I had a crush on Mila Kunis, so I'm going to go with that.
This is the perfect way, too, because you want to get into a conversation with someone and you're talking about the film and then you realize that you've actually seen the twin film and you haven't seen the one that they're talking about. Does that make sense? All right. Okay, what do we got here? Okay, with 53.8%. So this one was actually quite close. The winner is it's Friends with Benefits. Yes, that's right. Yay. Friends with Benefits wins on that one. It is the superior film.
Yay.
Okay. So you got one there, Pete.
You can all
One up, one down.
Yay! Is that do we win when Yay. They're the same as the audience?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Sure.
Okay, now you've
That's
had your
how it works around here.
You've had your go. I'm not doing my go because I'm just going to round out all the other ones because we had so many questions. So I'm going to do this as a kind of rapid fire thing as we go around them. So we'll go to the first little roundup, and I've gone chronological order. So this is both of the films, so oldest to newest, from some of the survey results, and see what you thought they were. We have in here. Okay, first one up, we've got Top Gun and Iron Eagle. I would love to say that Iron Eagle is the far superior film, but, you know, about two a kid who's growing up who flies fighter jets and has a mentor and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, Top Gun was the winner. 88.5% people prefer that one. Next one, we have Platoon and Full Metal Jacket.
No, that's bullshit, because Iron Eagle has the better soundtrack.
Yeah, it does.
I kind of think it's fair for a survey that you have to respond to regardless of whether you've heard of the film, because I've never heard of Iron Eagle, so yeah, well, I probably would have voted for Top Gun.
All the wonder is ahead of you then, Peter, because you can go and watch Iron Eagle whenever you feel like. More war films coming out. Platoon, Full Metal Jacket, about the Vietnam War. Two different directors, two different styles.
Full Metal Jacket.
Yep, survey came out. 61% of people like Full Metal Jacket, which is fantastic. Next one up, K-9 and Turner and Hooch.
Didn't know they could stack shit that high.
K-9 and Turner and Hooch. Where was this strange film about a dog that hooks up with either Tom Hanks or Jim Belushi? John Belushi, not Jim Belushi. This one, 80% it says Turner and Hooch. Yep.
Yes.
That's it. Fantastic. Next one.
Okay. Just for the one line. It's the car. I don't need the car.
It's the car. I don't need the car. This one was really fucking interesting. I think this goes back to a twin film, honestly, about this one, Pete. I think this actually falls into it. California and Natural Born Killers. So this came out. It's about two serial killers on the run, driving across Middle America, and it has Juliet Lewis in both of the films.
What?
She's Brad Pitt's girlfriend in California, and she's Woody Harrelson's girlfriend in Natural Born Killers. The only thing is the media isn't following the California killers, and it is following Natural Born Killers. Anyway, I would have gone California. It's a pretty good film, actually, but 69% people wanted Natural Born Killers, so that's fair enough. Next up, staying in America, West, Tombstone and
I'm
Wyatt
all for
Earp.
Natural Born Killers. That was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tombstone and Wyatt Earp, you know, you've got Kevin Costner, and then you've got, what's his name? Kurt Russell, leading this great cast in Tombstone. Everyone said, yes, Tombstone is a winner, and that is quite literally the better one there. All right, next up we have Gordy and Babe. And now this one feels a little bit like America rushed out a pig film when they found out that there was a pig film coming. do we all agree with that one? Is Babe? Are we all going for Babe?
100%.
Yeah, Babe is
kind of a classic. So
100% flawless victory for Babe.
Thank you.
Everyone
survey.
Voted for that one. Next one is, this is a contentious as well. The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. Nope. Did we see?
Shamefully, I have not watched either.
Julie, you wouldn't hate either of them.
Yeah. I know.
The funny thing about this is I think that a lot of people think that Tu Wong Fu is actually an homage to Priscilla, but it is not.
Nope.
They were released quite close to each other, and Priscilla did not influence Tu Wong Fu at all.
Yeah. Don't forget that Wesley Snipes is in Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, and that is not who you expect Blade to be in. Anyway, yeah. 92%.
Also Patrick Swayze and what's his name?
Yeah.
John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
John Leguizamo.
Correct. Yes, and that is...
Stunning plot similarities as well. It's quite incredible.
Last one for this little break. Braveheart
I
and
just
Rob
assumed
Roy.
The two was a bad remake, so...
No. No. Something about...
I guess not.
Something films about Scottish people rebelling against the English, Braveheart and Rob Roy. Now I'm going to say I prefer Rob Roy. You know, but did anyone else see Rob Roy? No,
I don't think I've seen either of them.
Come on, it's Liam Neeson doing a Taken before Taken.
I've seen both.
I prefer Rob Roy. Anyway,
he was like Highlander Taken.
Yeah.
Kilts, the whole works. There was a lot of violence.
So Braveheart won out on that one. I think you're all.
I think I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, you reckon? Tim Roth plays an excellent, excellent villain as a fop, like with the whole curled hair and the whole sort of thing. And everyone hates him.
Yes.
And it's justified because you go, everyone wants to murder that guy, but he's just really good at not dying and being better than you.
Yep.
And that's what makes you hate him more. Anyway, there you go. Bit of rapid fire there. Interesting results. Some people agree. Other people, I do not agree. But that's all right. Rob Roy is a superior film. Fine. And now it's time for Jill. Jill, what have you got for us?
My turn.
Your turn. First one for Jill.
What's the order of your slides?
Ants. Your first up is Ants and A Bug's Life.
Okay. These both came out in 1998. One from DreamWorks being Ants. The other from Pixar being A Bug's Life. Straight out the gate, I am going to say A Bug's Life is my favorite because the plot is exactly Seven Samurai and Magnificent Seven. And I fucking love both of those movies, so of course I love A Bug's Life.
I never picked up on that. Never.
What? How did you... Quinny!
I didn't see past the cute bugs.
When in doubt, just apply Kurosawa to your IP.
Exactly.
I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah. Ants had a slightly different plot to A Bug's Life. It definitely was not Magnificent Seven. Hmm. But it was very definitely about a colony of ants. So...
It had a lot of similarity. It didn't have the exact same plot, but it had a lot of similarities.
Too many similarities.
Yeah, it was, you know, the misfit ant who, you know, in one case is an inventor but clumsy. And
falling in love with, like, the princess
And in the other
ant.
Case is, like, super neurotic. They're both falling in love with the princess ant. Yes. They both end up having to save the colony by teaching the colony that it's okay to be an individual.
At the same time, it's quite good to unionize.
Yeah. And it's quite good to unionize. And they both end up with the princess who becomes the queen in the end.
Yes, I love that one. It's like, we have to, like, look for the individual because that's where the cool things are. Now you all do what I say. And then we can fight. Shit.
Yeah. So I do love that. There's a great bit in one of them where one of the grasshoppers basically just says, if one of them stands up, we're fucked. And I love that. Anytime that you want to point out to somebody why people in positions of power should be fucking questioned, that.
Mm. Yeah.
So I really hope the survey backs me up and says A Bug's Life is the better film.
Well, okay. So hang on. We go Jill's one there. Okay. So what it said. Oh, do we all choose? Like, which one are we choosing? I'm going for Bug's Life.
Yeah,
Bug's
I'm going for Bug's Life.
All right, okay. So with 73% or 73.1% of answers, it's right, A Bug's Life is the winner.
Wow. Yay. Not as much of a landslide as I was expecting.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like Ants did. I feel like Ants did more clever things with, like, the real micro world and the real kind of ant world and the micro versus the macro.
Ants is definitely still a good movie.
Yeah.
But Pixar, man.
Yeah.
They just know what they're doing.
But also, A Bug's Life does that cute thing. Like, it does the Pixar cute thing really, really well.
All right. Your next one.
And also, like, the amazing, like, drag makeup lady beetle. That's a man.
Yes. So good.
The next one you got is also an animated one. Who would have thought that there would be an animated film about a supervillain who may have a heart of gold and is just trying to do the right thing by becoming heroic, even though that's not what they're there for because they are supervillains. It is Despicable Me versus Megamind.
Yes.
Will
Both
Ferrell
came out in Steve 2010. Carell. Both came out in 2010. Mm-hmm. Despicable Me is from Illumination Studios and Megamind is
Minions.
DreamWorks. You know what? I fucking hate Minions.
I know.
I really hate Minions. There has been so many of these Despicable Me movies as well, but, like, not another Megamind, which is bizarre because it's such a good movie.
Isn't Brad Pitt in Megamind?
He is.
Yeah.
He's the superhero. Okay, so the whole thing between these two movies is that they actually don't have the same plot. They have similarities. So Despicable Me, you have two feuding supervillains, but in Megamind, you have it's a similar storyline to like Superman, except it's two babies from two different planets that get sent to Earth because their galaxy is about to be destroyed. One becomes a hero and one becomes a villain. And then it's that rivalry kind of thing happening there. There is a minion in Megamind called Minion. But the voice cast is phenomenal
It's just very strange that two animated films came out within the same like era, and it has a famous comedian voicing a supervillain who ends up doing good things.
We have Will Ferrell playing Megamind, and I do have to say he does have a particular brand of comedy, which I do enjoy, and it's very on brand in this movie. But a lot of the voice cast were also comedians, which kind of help. There's a lot of highbrow humor, but also enough dumb jokes. I think the best one is when Megamind is posing as Marlon Brando's version of Jor-El, but like doing the Godfather voice.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah, pretty
So
stupid.
which one are you going to pick? Which way are you heading?
Megamind.
Megamind.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Quinny, Peter?
I'm with you. Megamind, I think, is a
Megamind.
better and more entertaining film, and also fuck Minions.
I don't think I've seen either of them, so
What? You have to
I'm just
pick one.
going to
I
agree
had to
with you
pick one.
guys.
I had to pick one. So you're going for Megamind?
I agree with Jill.
You go,
Yay.
yeah. Okay, here we go. So with 57.7, another close one that
Ooh,
came down,
that
which
was
is a
close.
superior film. It's Despicable Me.
No, you are all wrong. You are all wrong.
No. You're all wrong.
You're all
So,
wrong. You need
close,
to go back and
close,
watch Megamind again.
close. Nope, that was
I
it.
think, unfortunately, Megamind did the thing where it hit at the same time, and it was the one that kind of slipped into the
Yeah.
obscurity, whereas Despicable Me just kept fucking coming
I
back.
mean, it can
Yeah.
appeal to such a young audience with the dumb fucking minions.
Yeah.
So it's just bait.
There
It's
weren't enough.
easy money. But
Yeah.
I guarantee, like, if you guys go back and watch Megamind again, I think you will get more of the jokes now and
There
see that it
weren't
is a superior movie.
enough marketing opportunities in Megamind
Yeah.
for that one.
And also 5-year-olds not real big into Jor-El jokes.
All right, time for the next rapid fire. Okay, here we're going.
Ooh,
Next,
kabam, kabam, kabam.
next rapid fire. Here is an interesting one. Yes, that's right. We're going Showgirls versus Striptease. So a movie about and
Wow.
to be fair with this one, Peter, it diverges rapidly off the
I did
idea.
ask the question of like, do they have the same plot or
No.
just the same poster?
I mean, no, they do have the same plot. Like, there are strippers trying to like justify their lives in the world while facing the Demi
That's
Moore is a
not
single
plots, that's themes.
themes. Yes, but it's the same kind of theme. It's a theme everywhere. In the end, though, people preferred Showgirls, so Striptease didn't quite make it there. But that's all right. Hilariously,
Showgirls directed by classical director Paul Verhoeven,
Yes, Paul
and
Verhoeven.
has one of the worst and funniest sex scenes in a pool ever.
Yes, it is. And with Kyle MacLachlan, you know, that guy from
Oh.
Fallout TV. Okay, next one up is Tornado. Yes, the TV film made to compete with the real film Twister. But everyone forgets that Tornado had Bruce Campbell in it.
And
Oh.
to be fair, like literal same plot released the same month.
Yep.
So even though they
Oof.
weren't competing at the box office, again,
No.
it's like, whoever saw this and how did it
Yeah,
happen?
how did you green light this? This is like it's Asylum before Asylum, but with stuff there. Anyway, 100% flawless victory on
Good.
Twister. No one
Good.
liked Tornado
Yeah.
versus that. That's
I'm
okay.
the no competition.
Next up, we have Executive Decision and Air Force One. Yes, that's
Oh,
right.
Air Force One, come
Terrorists on a
on.
plane versus terrorists on the president's
Get
plane.
off my
Yeah, which
plane.
way? Winner for Air Force One. That's
Now,
it,
hang on.
Harrison. Yes.
Executive Decision does have Steven Seagal dying in the first 5 minutes, though.
Yeah, that
Oh,
was great. Like, it was one of the
that's a
best things that
bonus.
Yeah,
happened. And
like I think that's there's a big vote for of confidence for that one.
also, it has Kurt Russell in it again. So yeah, he's showing up
Yeah,
in a few
yeah.
of these films. It's quite funny. All right, now here's one that didn't make someone's cut, but this could be contentious. Dante's Peak versus Volcano. Does anyone here
have... I mean, I have a lot of thoughts about Dante's Peak versus Volcano, thoughts? But we don't have time to talk about all of them.
No, we don't have time to talk about it. But can I just give us a quick wrap-up, Peter? Why is Dante's Peak great?
Do you want me to tell you which one I think is a better film?
Yes, please.
Dante's Peak, because premise-wise, it is significantly less ridiculous than a volcano just opening up underneath Los Angeles City and also, in the La Brea tar pits.
And also, Pierce Brosnan is a better lead than Tommy Lee Jones?
That too. both of them left images in my brain that I prefer not to be there. But yes. Dante's Peak is the reason that I can't swim in hot springs. So
yeah. I mean,
are you afraid that you'll get cooked?
Yes,
because that's what happens in the first scene of Dante's Peak.
Both of them have people trying to walk across lava, and it's like, why? You're going to die. Anyway,
but both of them also, the two like leads are like a scientist and a public servant, which I also think is kind of funny.
Who no one listens to, even back then.
Yep.
Winner is Dante's Peak. Yes, that is 80%. 80.8% there. Next one up is one we mentioned earlier, Saving Private Ryan and The Thin Red Line. It's about a group of people fighting a war just on opposite sides of the planet. I would actually say, yeah, probably that. It's the winner, Saving Private Ryan. Thin Red Line did a good job. It shows a bit different, but it's the same time. It's not
the same plot, though, is it?
Kind of. You don't have to rescue someone, but everyone is harrowed by the experience of war.
That makes every war. So in that case, plot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to draw straws here, which one's better, The Truman Show or EdTV?
Truman Show.
Is that only because he doesn't know he's being filmed?
EdTV bombs spectacularly, and The Truman Show is a genuinely good film and a classic.
Yeah, right.
The Truman Show is a great film. EdTV, I've never bothered to watch.
Except for that one person who preferred EdTV in the survey. It's 96.2%.
Who's this person?
I don't know, but someone did that, decided not. Okay, another one here. Another Pierce Brosnan one that we've got right now is Entrapment versus A Thomas Crown Affair.
Ooh.
What happens when an elderly thief meets up with a femme fatale and does an elaborate heist?
I feel like elderly may be a strong word there, but you might want to look up his brother's age when he shot
Actually,
that.
No. Sorry, let's wind that back. When an elderly James Bond actor,
it's a distinguished
very
gentleman.
Specifically.
Yes. Well, I mean,
a distinguished gentleman who has played James Bond then hooks up with a young woman, and they have to do
a woman much younger than that. Come on.
The age difference, if that's what you're getting at, yes.
Yeah, what about like, that'd be like me going out and finding a 22-year-old and being like, you can help me with something, right? And it's like, no.
But yeah, he was 46 years old, according to the internet, when he made that film. So
elderly Dion.
Elderly man.
Elderly Quinny.
Neither of us have played James Bond, though, so I'm...
Entrapment got the winner there, but I actually think Thomas Crown Affair is a better film.
The Thomas Crown Affair is a better film, but Entrapment has the bit where Catherine Zeta-Jones goes underneath the rope
thing. The laser
thing.
Beams.
Everybody remembers that.
And then Michael Douglas.
In the cat suit.
And Michael Douglas saw that and was like, that is the woman I'm going to marry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You.
Okay, and last one for this thing. An interesting one too, Red Eye and Flight Plan.
I don't think I've seen Flight Plan, but I loved Red Eye.
Yeah, two films about being on a plane and psychological torment of women. They do diverge, okay, it's fine. But, like, you know, you've got this setup where the woman just, like, on it, you've got women just sitting there trying to have a nice flight and other people fuck with them and give them psychological damage.
Woman exists, people fuck with her.
Yeah, and both of them are very gaslighty.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this didn't happen. You don't have a child. Your child was never on this plane.
Yeah.
This is not your beautiful house.
And what do we got there? Yes, Flight Plan was the winner, 76.9%. People didn't like Red Eye. I know.
What?
Which was the one that had
Cillian Murphy?
Cillian Murphy was in Red Eye.
He's in Red Eye.
And, no, the female actress, Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster, that was Flight Plan.
That was Flight Plan.
Ah, so that's the one that I remember. So, yes. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Interesting results there. I'm not sure that I agree with some of them. Thomas Crown Affair. Yeah. But then, what are we up to? Quinny's picks. Okay. Quinny's picks.
Okay.
We're going to get through this. There's a lot of results. Right. It's been very interesting. I love all the psychopaths in our chat and people who've, who fill out the thing. What are you doing? What are you doing for your first pick, Quinny?
Okay, my first one is in very much in keeping with who I am.
Yes.
We are looking at me being the devout Christian that I am. We're looking at two movies from the 1970s, early 1970s, in fact, the same year.
Okay.
That based on stage plays that were very successful, but both 1973. So we're looking at Jesus Christ Superstar or Godspell.
Okay, it's the first one there. Right.
Okay.
Godspell.
Right. So Godspell is essentially it's a bunch of Jesus parables, but in this case, it's all set in inner city New York, in and around the Central Park and so forth. And it's a bunch of 70s hippie, like free love guys getting around in clown makeup, singing vaguely memorable songs about Jesus stuff. Whereas Jesus Christ Superstar is set out in the desert and is a bunch of hippie kind of peace, love and freedom kind of dudes and gals in slightly less clothing singing a bunch of fairly memorable songs about Jesus stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
One's written by Andrew Lloyd Webber and the other is not.
And
yeah.
And if you were being forced to choose between which Jesus,
I mean, isn't Godspell Stephen Schwartz?
Yeah, I'm just looking.
I was going to say he's probably like you know.
Yes.
Is not, but he's also Stephen Schwartz.
It is. Yeah. Stephen Schwartz. Like Godspell. To be fair, like I have a weird relationship with them both. I've seen Godspell a couple of times on stage. One time bored the living piss out of me. And then another time I watched it and I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. All my friends are doing this stuff. I want to do theater. And then a couple of years later, I saw Jesus Christ Superstar. Then I went and watched the films of them. And that nearly put me off all of it together. They're very 70s. Like Jesus Christ Superstar is like, hey, we've got no budget. So we're just going to go out into the desert. And we're going to take a bus and a bunch of props and we're just going to kind of make scenes up and then have some musical numbers and it's going to be great.
What could go wrong?
Exactly. And then in Godspell, they were just like, hey, we've got no money, so let's just hang around in the middle of New York and we've got some props. they're very, very similar but also completely different and technically not actually twin films.
Well, I think what I kind of liked about these is that they were kind of sort of twin films based on twin musicals because the musicals were also released in the same year.
Yeah. So it's like essentially.
And you're having a go at me.
Which style of music do you
for
like?
For Saving Private Ryan and the Thin Red Line. I'm sorry.
To be fair, I do believe that Godspell, following Jesus's teaching and eventual crucifixion and Jesus Christ Superstar following Jesus's teaching and eventual crucifixion is a little bit closer in plot than two waffles.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say, Godspell, the lead actor who plays Jesus is Victor Garber.
I love Victor Garber.
Which is a whole fucking mood, let me tell you. However, I'm going to go with Jesus Christ Superstar because the glam factor of Jesus Christ Superstar and like the 70s funk of it all is just a little bit cooler. Mm. I like that wah guitar and all of the, you know, like let's be honest, JC Superstar is perhaps just a bit more of a kick-ass musical.
Look, I can rhyme Jesus Christ Superstar, but I can't rhyme Godspell, so I'll go with Jesus Christ Superstar driving around in his motor car.
He fell off. He doesn't care. Yeah. He's got bulletproof underwear.
What else? Jill, Peter?
Oh, JC.
JC.
Oh yeah, I mean, I haven't seen either film remake.
I haven't seen.
I would go JC.
But
over Godspell music wise,
so. I am a fan of the Star musical
with 73.1% for the results there. We are going for Jesus Christ Superstar. Yes, it has destroyed Godspell. Thank you very much. Which at least our crowd has some taste. Next up, though, this is a really interesting one. Quinny, you've chosen Mission to Mars and Red Planet. One has Ice Cube. One has Val Kilmer, the Iceman.
Yeah, well, one has Ice Cube, and what, like, if you're going to kind of try and balance them out, one has Ice Cube and one has Don Cheadle. One has Tim Robbins and one has Val Kilmer. Essentially, two films, both came out in the year 2000.
Yep.
Big year 2000.
Science fiction film set on Mars.
Yes, specifically with the idea of we're going to Mars, and what happens if we go to Mars? Isn't it going to be interesting if there's something already there?
Yeah. And no Predacanga, we are not talking about Ghosts of Mars. Away with you. Away with you.
Oh, God, was that only 1 year later? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So I have a very clear memory of this, of actually watching both films and being really confused at one point, because I'm pretty sure I lost track of which character was in which film.
Yep.
So I was waiting from a character from the first film to show up and do something in the other. And I was like, oh, no, this is bad.
Also, Carrie Ann Moss is in this film, and the last thing she was in was, like, of note, was The Matrix. So you're like, oh, wow. Like, Carrie Ann Moss is in this film. This is going to be great.
I realize that you're talking about Red Planet, not Mission to Mars, because I'm looking at the cast list of Mission to Mars and going, what? Oh, God.
Yeah, sorry. I'm getting confused too.
Yeah, so Mission to Mars, you've got Tim Robbins, Don Cheadle, Jerry Connell, Gary Sinise. And I'm down for a bit of Gary Sinise. I like me some Gary Sinise. Whereas, Red Planet, a little less exciting. Val Kilmer, Carrie-Anne Moss, Tom Sizemore, Benjamin Bratt, Simon Baker, but Terrence Stamp. So, you know, I'm going to have to, like, to be honest, they're both the same film in my head. Like, I know that there's some kind of life on Mars in both, and not in a David Bowie kind of way. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Mission to Mars was more of a thinky film and Red Planet was slightly more action.
And one of them, one of them was shot in Australia.
Oh, well, shit.
Did you know that? No? Red Planet.
No, I didn't know that.
Cooper Red Petey. Planet. In again.
Of course. Yeah. Okay.
What's Cooper Petey? Mars. I love the Australian Tourism Board. Do you want Mars? I got Mars.
Yeah, we can do you a really good Mars or alien planet.
Look, I'm going to pick Red Planet.
Okay.
It's more fun.
You're going Red Planet?
Yep.
I'm going to go Mission to Mars because I think it was slightly more intelligent. Slightly. Jill, Pete, do you have any dog in the show?
I abstain. I've never watched any of them.
Which one's title sounds better?
No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I have zero opinion, so I agree with Quinny.
Jill, can I tempt you back onto the side so we get a 50-50?
Yeah, whatever you said.
Fantastic. All right, then, here we go. 50-50. It is a great draw for this. I can't believe it. We had a draw, and that wasn't planned. I knew the results. Okay, I knew the results here, but you guys didn't know the results, and I can't believe that we got the same. That's fucking weird.
I love it because this is one of those truly beautiful moments of actual twin films where neither is actually a good film. No. They're just films that happen to have the same idea.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, oh, this one's a Mars film. Quick, they're doing a Mars film. We're going to do a Mars film too. You know, quick, get all the actors, chuck them in. Right, off we go. Thank you, Quinny. I'm glad that you chose the Mars thing because I wanted to talk about it. All right. Then we got our last one. Okay, our last one, last round of results that are coming up now. All right, what have we got? Here we go. Capote and Infamous. Now, Peter, did you have something you wanted to say about Capote and Infamous, or is that anecdote from?
I have opinions on that one as well, because I saw both films the year that they were released again.
Right.
Fascinated that they managed to make the film with the exact same plot and topic twice, but they did manage to make them quite differently, I thought. Really different take tonally in both films of the same, like biopic of Truman Capote from the exact same time of his life, about the writing of the exact same book and his relationship with the exact same criminals that led to the writing of that book. I think one was Infamous with Toby Jones as Capote. It's a little bit more kind of glitzy and I guess kind of Hollywood in its approach. Philip Seymour Hoffman's Capote felt to me to be at the time the better film. However, Daniel Craig's performance in Infamous I actually found super memorable as Perry Smith, the criminal that Capote formed a relationship with when he was writing in Cold Blood.
So
I think those two are interesting because they are the exact same film and they're really different takes on the topic.
If you were going to have to choose your favourite, though, which one would you choose?
Probably from memory, Capote, but it just could be that I just always found Philip Seymour Hoffman so impressive in everything.
Okay. And with the results of 76%, the winner is Capote. Not Infamous.
Yay.
There you go.
I mean, Toby Jones was excellent as well, but it was a kind of more of a camp take on the character.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Now this one's a little bit more interesting. It is The Prestige versus The Illusionist.
Oh, so I like The Prestige.
The magic happened.
Yes.
Okay, so, like, did everyone see The Illusionist?
I don't remember.
You didn't see The Illusionist? No, okay. Jessica Biel and the ex-Hulk.
Eric Banner?
No.
No,
no, not Edward Norton.
Lou Ferrigno.
Edward Norton.
Oh.
Although I kind of would love to see The Illusionist remade with Eric Banner.
Only if he's playing Poyter.
Yeah. You know, look, the what do you call it? Out of the two, one was a lot more like famous, but. I felt at the time, I think I had, that's Quinny's picks. That's the wrong one. There we go. I have to say, as much as I love The Illusionist, I would go for The Prestige.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It felt like a much better, well-rounded film, acted a little bit better. You know? Everyone on par with that?
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Yeah.
I don't remember either film, but I'm going to go the opposite just because I'm constantly mad at Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, it is a Nolan film, but I will say that The Prestige wins for me because, like, the whole concept of, you know, the turn, the twist, the whatever, The Prestige. And for me, The Prestige was David Bowie as Nikola Tesla.
Yes.
And you're right. Yep. 69.2% people said The Prestige was there. But, you know, some love for The Illusionist. That was great. Also, The Zodiac and Zodiac, talking about two films of the same fucking thing that are around. That one came out.
It's just about a small boat, right?
Oh, God. No. No. Are they both about bears? No.
That's a Kodiak.
It's a Kodiak moment.
There's an idea for a film. 69% of people thought Zodiac was better than The Zodiac. That's okay.
So which one was The Zodiac? Which one was the.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Which one had Jake Gyllenhaal in it?
In Zodiac.
Okay.
And then the other one was
that was Fincher, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Fincher one was really good.
And, okay, this one I found really interesting. So around about the same time you had a film called Skyline, which was about aliens that came down over Los Angeles and had a blue light and people tried to fight back. And then you had a low-key military-industrial complex propaganda film called Battle Los Angeles, which was about aliens invading Los Angeles and military units fighting street-to-street in downtown L.A. All right, Battle Los Angeles.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
I'm also
Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah, I'm also going to say that in this one, Skyline spawned two sequels. and Battle Los Angeles came and went away very rapidly. Mm-hmm. But according to the survey, though, Battle Los Angeles is the winner. 69.2% preferred it, even though it didn't have a sequel. And I got to say, yeah, it was a little bit like a kind of Saving Private Ryan sort of thing. But all the aliens were like laptop grade, you know, CGI. People just doing it, you know, burning out a couple of laptop graphics chips, getting the shoot done. So it's kind of good.
I do want to point out to you that it actually spawned three sequels.
Three sequels for Skyline.
Skyline, Beyond going. Skyline, Skyline Z, and Skyline : Warpath.
And
I have never heard of one of those films.
Right.
Whoever does their marketing.
Do you know Frank Grillo? Because he's in a lot of the Skyline films.
I mean, knowing Frank Grillo doesn't make me have heard of the Skyline films.
It he's might in have the helped. DC universe now. You've got to know. Next one up is Jobs versus Steve Jobs. So which one do you want, Kutcher or Fassbender? Yeah, I know.
I think I watched the Kutcher one because it had that guy playing Wozniak and fuck.
No. Nah. I have very vague memories about both of them, so I'm not sure. I'm going to go for Jobs because it seems just the right amount of pretension for the name of a movie, whereas Steve Jobs feels like an application form.
Was played by Josh Gad in Jobs.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? 57.7% prefer Steve Jobs. So Fassbender wins.
I mean,
did not like Kutcher. Prefer Fassbender. Next one, we've got a very interesting one. Back to the presidential theme. Olympus Has Fallen versus White House Down. Yes, that's right. We should terrorists attack the White House.
Somehow. Now, I unsurprisingly honestly, have not seen either of these films.
I can't remember which one I have seen.
Well, one's got Aaron Eckhart in it, and the other one has Jared Butler.
Shut up, Butwood.
I still can't remember.
One's got Channing Tatum in it.
Ooh.
It's just like, nope, not helping.
I'm on board.
No.
I really can't remember. Maybe I saw both. Who knows?
Yep. And one has a sequel. So.
Because Olympus Has Fallen.
The president was Jamie Foxx, right?
Yeah, in one of them.
In one of them.
This is perfect. This is what Twin Film Fair is. It's like, that's confused. Right. What are we watching? You know, anyway, you prefer Olympus Has Fallen. 61.5% of people did that. White House Down.
I wonder whether they all went on to go and watch London Has Fallen, the questionable sequel.
Maybe that was the one I saw. Maybe I saw both. I saw
Channing Tatum's White House Down did not succeed on that one.
I think I saw both.
Here's another one that we've got. Two films about the apocalypse. This Is the End versus The World's End. Yeah, they're both about the apocalypse. What are you talking about?
This is another borderline. This is borderline, but two comedies about the apocalypse.
Los Angeles apocalypse, or do you want British apocalypse?
Yeah, sorry, This Is the End was funnier.
Yeah. But I mean, look, bunch of wait. Come on, listen to it.
It's a sad end for the Cornetto trilogy.
That was kind of my thing too.
This is fine though. A bunch of friends get together to try to celebrate something. There is an outsider one that everyone kind of doesn't like, and then an apocalypse event sort of happens around them, and how they react to it. This is the same couple of films. Like, I don't know what's going on.
One is about a British pub crawl, like. Yeah. The other is about surviving the rapture or the biblical apocalypse, and one ends with aliens and the other one kind of ends with a dance number.
Funnily enough, Street Boys. Channing Tatum is in this film, one of these films as well. And not the winner because The World's End won that one. So Channing Tatum has been in the loser of these last two films.
Who skewed that survey result?
73.1. What are you talking about?
That's wild.
Cornetto trilogy wins.
I love the Cornetto trilogy, but the Cornetto trilogy ends fairly fucking blandly.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like they ate it from the wrong end. Like they sat it's not the chocolate bottom.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right. And the last one for this evening, which has been great, is it's almost an exact time frame. Well done, everyone. That's been great.
Yay.
Films that came out at the same time, Denzel Washington's The Equalizer and Keanu Reeves's John Wick.
Mm. So
what happens when a man just decides he's going to kill everyone in the room?
I haven't seen the
Equalizer.
Really? Yeah, I got nothing.
I'm
like action films. I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
Well, yeah. I mean, The Equalizer has two sequels, so they're up to The Equalizer 3 now, probably at a fourth one. And John Wick, as we all know, has spawned the franchise and it's sidled off the other side. I still haven't seen Ballerina. Should get out there and see that.
Yeah.
But which one are you going to go for, John Wick?
I guess so. It's the only one I've seen.
I'm going John Wick, but I just want to shout out to the original Equalizer from the 80s, who is played by Edward Woodward. Just because I wanted to say his
name. Oh, no, fuck, no, I didn't mean to do that. Sorry. Sorry. I didn't mean to do it. It wasn't a gag. Is it a gag?
That's the wrong button.
I tapped on the wrong keyboard.
Congratulations.
Better put a bigger sticker on that elf button.
Yep. Yeah. I'm saving it for next week. Anyway, that's right. John Wick, 84.6% is the winner.
I'm not surprised.
Yay! Thanks, everyone. Yay!
Yeah, thanks, everyone that voted in the survey. That was great.
Thanks,
yeah.
That was really
was nice
really
to know that there's a bunch of other people out there who have looked at these films and gone, huh?
Hey, also, how dare you choose some films over others?
How dare you have taste?
Ridiculous.
I want to know what the average time was to fill out the survey, because I'm sure a lot of people had to go to Google and check which one was which.
We even put the posters there so you could figure it out and sort of go that way. Didn't take very long. It's only 5 minutes.
So Bren's just made a really good point. Damn it. We didn't include Double Impact from Van Damme and Twin Dragons, which is Jackie Chan, I think. Not only twin movies, but they're about twins. So, doubling the twinness.
I'm not sure they fell within the yearly time frame that Peter put out there.
If it's 91 and 92, that's going to be close enough to be twin films.
So it's Peter's rules. We don't make the rules here, guys. If any complaints...
Actually, didn't make the specific rules. I don't even think we looked up the release date for all of those things we just talked about.
Please direct them straight to Peter on all her social media and emails and professionally just attack her for not including things. It's all her fault.
Yeah. Go out of your way to really make her life difficult.
It was her show.
Don't do that.
We're just...
Wow, they really threw you
under
the bus, Pete.
Who chose the films, Dion?
Wikipedia, mainly. There is a list. You can go to the Wikipedia page. We'll put it in the link on the podcast and check.
Have we missed any other twin films? Let us know with a complaint directed at Dion on
films,
Facebook.
Yeah, and join us next week for films with twins in them. Yeah, that's right. We're coming back next time. It's any film with a twin in them, and the show will go for 17 hours.
I'm just trying to find when the movie of Street Fighter was released, because I have this thing that I'm like, I think that, 1994.
Yeah.
So Mortal Kombat was released in 1994, early 1995, and Street Fighter was released in 1994. I think they're basically the same film.
They're also basically the same game.
Exactly.
They're not.
Based on twin games.
They're very different, and we can't go down these things. You can't go down these rabbit
holes. They're as different as a comet and an asteroid.
Or a movie about Jesus in New York City, or a movie about Jesus in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you. This was actually very fun. I liked finding out people's opinions. What did you think? Was this good? Was this bad? You know?
Well, Predakanga seems to think that it's been a fun change of pace. So thank you very much, Predakanga.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thank you all for coming and letting us know your favorites. And maybe I'll go and rewatch Deep Impact.
Yes. Hopefully we've caused at least someone to be like, wait, which one did I watch?
Yeah.
And they'll go back and they'll be like, oh, I saw the other one. And I actually didn't like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or did I watch Red Planet? Or was it Mission to Mars?
Nobody will ever know.
But yeah, that was a little bit of fun for the thing, the second last show of the year. What are we doing next week?
Oof. I forget.
Oofed.
We're looking back on the year.
Oh, it's just a roundup.
We are doing a roundup. I don't have the whip crack out there, and I'm scared about touching anything or I'm going to get the elf clip. comes up again. It's just like, fuck, not again. Yeah, we're doing the best of. Best of 2025. We're going to pick one each, one movie and one TV show each to do that. There's no competition involved, but think about what in the chat or people out there, what was your best of?
I would very much love to have our chat and also all of our listeners and everything send us some messages, what they thought were the best of. Like, I would love to be able to read other people's best of. And, like, we just want one, your best movie, your best TV show.
Right.
Because that's what we're going to be
Is this another
about?
Survey form, Quinny? Are you going to make me do 150 more fucking slides?
No. we just want to hear from them. And I'd like to know what you thought was like the absolute best of the year. Because there have been some really good films that have come out this year. There's been some stinkers. There's been some fucking great TV. Let's be really clear on that. There's been some absolutely mint TV. So, you know what?
Best of times.
Dump it on us.
And then it will at the halfway point, we'll go to the worst of times and we'll pick our worst movie and our worst. No, we'll just do the best of. Because if we're here for the worst, it will just go forever. Awesome. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so best of 2025. Sorry, thanks for clarifying that, Karina, in the chat there. Yes, we're just going to...
Just the last year, just from... 1st of January to the end of December 2025.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, you can't see things. If you've seen Avatar, Fire and Ash,
absolutely. That's going to be the best of everyone's. Everyone's going to do that. It's a blockbuster. It's going to make all its money back in the first weekend. Does anyone else feel like that's kind of money laundering?
I did hear somebody mention that. Like, you know, is James Cameron making squillions of dollars on something else and he's just using the Avatar films to launder money?
Yeah. Is James Cameron just the NVIDIA of filmmakers where he's like, if I give you $100 million for your marketing budget and then they'll come all the way back around in ticket sales through to my film, right?
Look, I think there's an actual trillionaire that deserves more of our scrutiny than James Cameron.
Yes, 100%. When you could make, you know, 150 Avatar, Fire and Ash sequels or whatever it is, Avatar sequels, and it still wouldn't make you poor. That's really not the problem, isn't it?
No.
Good luck to a James Cameron.
I really enjoyed this hour and a half of not having to think about the world.
Hour and a half?
It's only been an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah. Hour and 10.
It's only been an hour.
A lot of films. We got through them quick.
Yeah, we did.
We did. We absolutely smashed through.
Yeah, it's when we have a schedule. But thanks everyone for joining us. Thank you for all of your interesting points about these twin films. And it was fun, Peter. No matter what anyone says in the group.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks. Okay. All right.
Thank you, chat.
We'll
you're the best chat
we'll
of all.
See you next
we
week for the
cat.
Last show of the year.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.